Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Let's talk about it. Apostolic and Prophetic Voices. I am your co-host, Pastor Shante Charles, and our host, Apostle Janet L. Clary, is the founder of this particular talk show. We thank you all so much for joining us on tonight, and we have with us as a guest, Minister Danielle Tapscott, out of Northern Virginia. She's going to be bringing the word to us on tonight, and she's going to be sharing with us about singleness and purity. So we're going to open up in prayer, and after that, we're going to turn this time over to Minister Danielle. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. God, we thank you for who you are in this place and in this time and season, Father. Lord, we ask that you give us ears to hear, give us a heart to receive, give us eyes to see what your Spirit is saying, even as this message goes forth on tonight. Lord, we thank you for those who have a mind and a heart to serve you in purity, Father, and singleness of heart. Lord, we ask that you touch our speaker on tonight, Father. Word her mouth. Lord, give her your words to say, Father God, that will bring forth your truth in a great and new and mighty way into the hearts and minds of those who are listening on tonight. Father, we ask that you touch the hearts and minds of the listeners, Father God, that if there be anything in us, oh God, that is not pleasing to you, Father, that this word, God, will go in, will till the ground in our hearts, Father, and cause us, God, to produce that which is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Danielle, for joining us tonight on the show. We are blessed to have you, and we thank God for you, and we just ask that you just have the floor. The floor is now yours.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Shante, and thank you for those that are tuned in to listen. I'm excited about the word that I'm going to give tonight regarding purity and singleness. And when Pastor Shante first asked me about it, I just, you know, had prayed about it and sought the Lord and really felt that this was a word that he would have me to share with the listeners tonight. And the biggest thing that I want to do with this is to debunk the myth behind the purity and singleness piece, where immediately when we see the word purity, we often go to and associate it with virginity and being a pure woman or man of God and relating it to not having sex prior to marriage. But the truth is, yes, God has that intention for all of us. However, if that's all that purity does consist of and that defines it, then we all would find ourselves being impure, because a lot of times before coming to Christ, we are in an impure nature and we are committing those things outside of the purity of God. So I want to focus on whole life purity tonight, not just sex prior to marriage purity, but whole life purity, living a life that gives expression to God, glorifying him. So I'm going to start with defining purity. And purity is defined as a freedom of immorality with an emphasis on sexual nature. But tonight, we're going to focus on the freedom of immorality for your whole life, giving expression to Christ. When we confess our sins and ask Jesus to come and live in our hearts, we are immediately saved. But sanctification is a process. Sanctification is defined as a state of growing in divine grace. Yes, we are immediately saved when we make the confession, but the flesh is still there, and it must be crucified. It is important that we understand that the flesh must be crucified, that it is a process, that salvation is immediate. You make the confession, I confess with my mouth that I'm a sinner and believe in my heart that God sent Jesus just for me, that he died on the cross for my sins. However, although salvation is immediate, we have to know that the sanctification is a process, and sanctification being defined as the state of growing in divine grace. Purity is the choice to die to self. You're basically saying, as Paul said in Philippians 1:21, and again, that is Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. When we look at the synonyms for purity, we'll find goodness and righteousness. We also find those same words in Galatians 5:22 when it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Again, Galatians 5:22, and it reads, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. The Amplified reads, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature with its passions and appetites and desires. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Again, that's Galatians 5:22-25. When we accept Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, we open ourselves up to its leading in every part of our lives. Therefore, purity living is an expression of the Holy Spirit. Again, purity, the synonyms, righteousness. We heard that, goodness. We find those same words in the fruit of the Spirit. That is expressions of Christ. That is the characteristics, the nature of Christ himself. Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And that scripture is coming from Romans 8:12-14. Again, being led by the Spirit, living out purity, those characteristics of the nature of Christ, Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit, that's the purity. When you accept Christ, you are turning from the way of the Gentile. Paul even explained it in 4:17 that no longer as the Gentiles had the minds that are full of darkness. They wander far from life, from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Again, that is the mindset of the Gentile. But we, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are turning away from that. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth and that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Again, righteousness, the goodness, purity. That's in Ephesians 4:17-24. And I'm going to harp on Ephesians 4:23-24 over and over again. You'll hear me saying renewed in your mind, renewed in your thoughts and in your attitudes. You're putting on your new nature. Again, the nature of Christ, that purity, the expression of Christ, the characteristics of the fruits of the Spirit. That's what you're putting on when you're renewing yourself, when you are submitting yourself to God. You become renewed in your mind. When you make the choice to die to self and become renewed in your mind, you begin the transformation process, the transforming process, again, the sanctification. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Again, that's Philippians 1:6. The thing is that you don't have to worry about the fact that you haven't stopped doing this or that or aren't living a life of purity. As you become renewed in your mind and God begins to work on, in, and through you, your appetite changes. Naturally, as you grow closer to God and become transformed and renewed in your mind, you will have a different hunger. Your hunger and thirst for things of the world begin to dissolve as your hunger and thirst for the things of the kingdom grow. Your passion becomes greater. Your focus intensifies. You become entangled in a relationship with God. Therefore, you don't have time for the former things. You cast aside the former you, forgetting what's behind you, pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ. When we decide to submit ourselves to Christ, living out pureness, being renewed in our mind, it's like when you're trying to lose weight or gain muscle or just try to get in shape. The first step of that is going to the gym. So you start going to the gym, and of course, when you first go on, it might be a challenge. You have to discipline yourself a little bit. The alarm clock goes off at 5 a.m., and you look at it, and you just hit the snooze button. But then it's like, okay, you finally get yourself going. After a while, about a week or so passes, 2 weeks passes, 3 weeks passes, it becomes a routine. It becomes a part of you. It's a regimen. You're doing that daily. Your passion grows. You start to see a difference in the mirror. You see the muscles. You see the weight that you've lost. You see the change in your face. You're seeing the results from the work that you put in. The same happens with our passion for a relationship with God. As you put in the work, the former you starts to shed like the pounds of weight when you're in the gym, working out readily. Your diet changes and the things you once had an appetite for no longer hit your taste buds the same, which helps you excel in your goal of being fit. Your natural and spiritual diet changes, which helps you in your goal to press towards the things of God, again, expressing Him through purity. You no longer have a taste and desire for the things of the world because your passion and your focus has become Christ, and you want to do things that are pleasing to Him. You want to do things that make you look good, that you see the results of, that are giving off good things, that you are reflecting the image of Christ. You will find yourself not being able to stomach certain music, certain TV shows, certain entertainment, even people. Your circle will begin to change. What the radio station in your car will begin to change. What shows you once watched, you'll stop watching them because now you're understanding that spirit becomes offended. There's some conviction that comes down when you are taking in different things that are not pleasing to God, and you're seeing differently because you've been in the gym, you've been in His Word, and things offend your spirit that once before didn't offend you when you weren't trying to live a life that was holy and pure before Christ. It's like if you are on that diet and you've been eating nice, lean meat, you know, fish, maybe some chicken, you've been baking things or grilling them, and then all of a sudden you decide that you're going to try to get a 20-ounce good cut of steak and eat that. Well, your body will be offended. It doesn't like it in its system because it's not what you've been eating before. It doesn't have the same feeling. As a matter of fact, it might even make you sick because your body no longer wants to be fed by that. So that's the same thing that happens, again, with your spirit man. The things of the world offend your spiritual man as you become transformed, again, being renewed in your mind. As your mindset changes, as you become renewed in your mind, there are things that you no longer want to feed your spirit. There are things that no longer are pleasing in your sight. As a child being raised in the church, we would sing in our preschool class, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see," and "Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." And why? Why did we sing those songs? Why did we say those things? At the time, you just are singing along, not knowing. But the truth is because your ears and your eyes are the gates to your spirit man. So whatever it is that you are listening to, whatever it is that you are watching, that is something that can affect your spirit man. What you take in is what you'll put out. Jesus warned the disciples in Mark 4:24. Again, that's Mark 4:24. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. In Proverbs, we also are reminded to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23-27 reads, Guard your heart, which is referring to your spirit man, above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Again, being mindful of what it is that you are listening to, what it is that you are watching, the things that you're taking in, those things, if they become a part of your regular daily routine, your regular system, that's what's going to show. That's what you're going to put out. Our heart, our feelings of love and desire dictates to a great extent how we live because we always find time to do what we enjoy. Solomon tells us to guard our hearts above all else, making sure we concentrate on those desires that will keep us on the right path. Make sure your stick leads you in the right direction. Put boundaries on your desires. Don't go after everything you see. Look straight ahead, keep your eyes fixed on your goal, and don't get sidetracked on detours that lead to sin. Singles in particular, but all of us as believers, cannot think that we can feed our spirit, the music and television of today, which boasts of sex, adultery, homosexuality, lust, deceit, and things of the carnal nature, and not be affected. If it gets in your spirit, and if you are spending more time feeding yourself the things of this world, engaging in a relationship with the world more than you are in the Word, and spending intimate time with God, you will, like Jesus said to his disciples, lose what little understanding you do have of the truth, giving into your flesh and impurities of the world. My pastor on Sunday spoke of this, how we often just think, oh, it's just a little bit. You know, it won't hurt. It's just a little bit. But if that little bit starts to become more than the time that you're getting before your Father, that more than the time that you are getting into the Word of God, it will overtake again. It will overtake that spiritual man. Flesh will overtake it then, because that's what you're feeding more of. That's what's going to grow. That's what's going to begin to be transformed and grow, is the flesh, as opposed to, I should say, it's going to be conformed, excuse me, as opposed to transforming of the spirit. So if we are not mindful of the things that we're watching, that we're listening to, we will find ourselves getting caught up in them and then acting out outside of them. And again, for the single, specifically, it is a little bit harder because, you know, we do need to be mindful of our bodies being temples and a sacrifice unto God, and I'll get into that a little bit more. But for all believers have to be mindful of what they are feeding their spirit. In our dying to self, we are presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Christ. Romans 12:1-2, Paul urges us. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Again, God's will for us is good, pleasing, and perfect, but if we are not allowing ourselves to be fed of his word, getting intimate with God, truly growing, allowing that fruit in us to be produced by the Holy Spirit, to give off an expression of his purity, we will find ourselves not transformed, but conformed to the things of the world, of this world. In Ephesians 4:21-24, again, he says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Again, that word righteous, purity, think purity when you hear that, righteous. We have to remember that our body is a temple, a living sacrifice. We sing the song, to worship you I live. We have to know that worshiping God is not just something you do on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights before the pastor gets up to give his word. Worship is a lifestyle. It is an expression unto God, and we should be worshiping God with our bodies, with what we are expressing out to him. You can't let any old stuff into a temple. A temple is a sacred place where there's offerings and sacrifice giving. You just can't bring junk to be sacrificed. You can't bring junk to be offered up unto God. It has to be something that is pleasing, and acceptable, again, to Christ. Praise and worship. Our body should give off a sweet fragrance to the Lord, glorifying him in expression of purity. In 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says, our lives are Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Again, 2 Corinthians 2:15, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. It's something for you to ponder and to think about every single day. What fragrance are you giving off to God? What is the scent, the smell that you are giving off? When we think of fruits, staying with fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, when we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, we're thinking of sweetness. We're thinking of a good taste, a fresh aroma. We're not thinking of anything that's sour, something that is decayed, something that has a stench to it. We want to be giving off a sweet fragrance unto God. That is what we should all desire in our passion of expressing him through purity. Let it be a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. Let what I say come out of what comes out of my mouth be a sweet sound unto his ear. Let my body give off worship at all times, a sweet smelling fragrance to the Lord. Our declaration should be that of David, who exclaims, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My life makes its boast in the Lord. Makes its boast in the Lord. Again, my life makes its boast in the Lord. Again, tonight we are talking about a lifestyle. A lifestyle. A lifestyle of purity. A lifestyle of righteousness, a lifestyle of goodness, a lifestyle of joy, a lifestyle of self-control, a lifestyle of gentleness, a lifestyle of kindness. That's what we are talking about, the expression of him through a lifestyle. And it furthermore goes to say, let the humble and afflicted hear and be glad. Let them be able to rejoice in our lifestyle. Let them be able to hear and be glad. We must understand that purity is the expression of God's character. We should always express God's character, expressing him by the fruits of our spirit. We have to put into practice these traits, whether we are single, married, divorced, widowed, young, or old. You can be married and impure because you are living immorally outside of Christ. And I know that the title topic was purity and singleness, but there can be impurity in two-ness. And I know a lot of times it's like, oh, well, they're married, they can do what, but the fact of the matter is, if you don't crucify the flesh when you're single, living pure, you just bring that right up into the two-ness, so it's still there. It has not died. There is hasn't been any severance. You haven't died to self and decided to walk and be renewed in your mind. You are still the same you. Now it's just that you are joined with somebody else, which brings further corruption, could bring further corruption. So it's important that in our singleness that we crucify the flesh. And again, if you are listening tonight and you're currently married and haven't crucified the flesh and it's not too late, you still can do that. If you're not walking out, say, purity and those things, you absolutely can do that at this point. But in regard to the topic and the focus, again, crucifying the flesh and walking pure before God in the singleness allows for you to be able to join into something greater, already having died to those things that are not considered pleasing in his sight. Divorce, you can be married and impure because you are living in the world outside of Christ. Purity is an expression of him, bringing glory to the very nature of God. It's not about just being a virgin. It's a lifestyle. As singles, it becomes more of a challenge, and we have to be even more careful and discerning. We can find ourselves getting caught up in what the world views as morally correct because it has become acceptable. Unfortunately, now everything's acceptable and nothing is wrong, and you know everyone needs to be accepting and tolerant of things such as living with your significant other before being married, having children outside of marriage, sleeping around, committing adultery. I mean, we see TV shows and the people who seem to be gaining in the world, the celebrities, they're doing whatever. Whether it's, say, divorce or having kids before they get married, living with each other, and you see popular TV shows where adultery is the thing to do and lusting after someone else's husband is the norm, or dating someone's husband is the norm. And so when we see these things and we're feeding our spirit these things, we can easily become influenced and it becomes as acceptable because society says it's acceptable. But the thing that we have to remember is that we are not of this world. Yes, we are born in this world, but we are not of this world. So it is important that we separate the two. 1 John 2:15 reminds us that we must take heed and not love this world nor the things it offers. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Again, that's 1 John 2:15 and 16. We cannot love the world and love Christ. It's not possible. You cannot love the world and love Christ. That person is a double-minded and unstable in all his ways and should expect to receive nothing from the Lord. That's James 1:6-8. It's either you love one and hate the other. You can't be about both lifestyles. One is going to have the greater influence in your life. One is going to be what overtakes you. One is going to be what's more of the passion for you, what you desire more. And again, that is affected by what you are feeding yourself, what truth, what knowledge you are gaining, that is how it is determined which one has the upper hand, if you will, depending if you're going to conform or be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In closing, purity is making the choice to crucify the flesh, choosing to die to self. Given an expression of purity in God, again, talking about the fruits of the Spirit, the pastor says, my pastor says, the fruit is in the root. What a man sows, he shall reap. Galatians 6:7 reminds us, you will always harvest what you plant. So don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So my question to you tonight is, what are you planting in your spirit man? Will it reap fruits of the Spirit? Purity, that's righteousness, goodness, self-control. Will it allow you to walk in purity in your singleness, for those that are not single, that are listening, in your life in Christ? We must remember that salvation is immediate, but sanctification is a process. Therefore, you can make the decision today. Tonight, you can say that, Lord, I will die to self and commit my way to you, having full confidence that he who began this good work in you will see it through to its completion. And that's a gift. Excuse me, Philippians 1:6. You don't have to be concerned about what you haven't let go of and stop doing. In him, you are innocent. You are free from your past offenses. You're free from your sin. You're free from whatever. God sees you as innocent. He is not concerned about what your current situation is, what you've done in your past, what you haven't given up. He sees you as innocent. And if you commit yourself to him and trust in him, he will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. And that scripture can be found in Psalms 37:4-6. The truth is, he will radiate you, and people will see the glory that you're giving off. People will find themselves being attracted to you because of your righteousness, because of your right standing, because of what you're giving off. If you have a nice perfume on, a lot of people are like, what are you wearing today? What's that scent that you wear? They are attracted to that, and they start to ask you questions in regard to it. So if you decide that you're going to be renewed in your mind, crucifying your flesh, submitting yourself to Christ, walking out purity before him, you will find that you will start to be transformed, and that the sanctification process will begin to take place. And as you get into God's gym, into his word, and build up your muscles and become strengthened in him, you will find that you begin to change, and people will be attracted to your change. So you don't have to worry about what somebody might say or this, that. They're going to come seeking you out because of the attractiveness that you have, because you're glorifying him in your purity. And I'm here to tell you that submission is not easy and can be a lonely journey. You will look crazy and be misunderstood, but you are setting the standard. Regardless, I will not be moved. That is the stance that you take. I'm going to walk pure before God. I am going to be sure to give off a sweet fragrance. This is his temple. I'm going to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Christ, and I will give expression to him, and he will be glorified. People will want what you have, because the illumination of his glory. Again, I just encourage you tonight to become renewed in your mind, to know that it is not too late to become renewed in your mind, to commit yourself to saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to commit my way to you, Lord. Trust and lean and depend on you to lead and guide me, Lord God, to start to dive into the deeper things of God and begin to be transformed, so that you will live a life that is pure before him, that is expressing him, that truly honors him and is pleasing unto him. And again, whether you're single, you're married, it doesn't matter. Living a life of purity is about an expression of Christ. And again, it's all about being mindful of what we feed our spirit and the time that we give to God. It is definitely challenging to be pure and to walk upright in the world that we live in, but the reality is that if you are mindful of what you're putting in your spirit, what you're feeding yourself, and you begin to set the standard and you begin to be bold and you begin to walk with Christ, you will find that people will desire what it is that you have because of, again, the fragrance, the sweetness, the fruit that you are giving off. I do pray that you all were able to gain some insight from this, and I thank you for your time tonight. And I'm going to turn it back over to the host.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Minister Danielle. We do have your line still open. I'm going to open up the line in just a second, but I do believe we have Apostle Clary with us on the line tonight. Apostle Clary, do you have any words for us tonight?
Yes, I would just like to say how much I enjoy it. The scriptures, most of all, that she brought forth, the scripture that let us know that we can do it because the words say that we can. And as an older person, 60 years old, and dealing with singleness and purity, some of the things that she said was just so on it because I lived single when I was in the world. So a lot of the things that she was talking about, you know, sleeping around and messing around, and then I got married and got saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost began to teach me and lead and guide me. And so now, 8 years later, living divorced as a single woman, that same Holy Ghost that I had when I was married is the same Holy Spirit that I have now. And I choose, and this is one of the things that I've been talking about lately, is we all have a choice, and the Holy Ghost and the Lord will not do anything against our will. So I just love the teaching on living holy and righteous before God and purity and saving myself for when God do bring my husband that, you know, I won't have to go through all that, even as a woman of God, because just because we're in the church and we're claiming to be believers in today, still doesn't matter because we have so many people sleeping around and doing all kinds of things, and especially in leadership. But I choose to live righteous and holy before God and before man. And I truly enjoyed the teaching and, you know, and especially the scriptures that let us know that we can live pure and holy before God and live a lifestyle of pure and holiness in this hour. It can be done if you choose to. If we choose to live righteous and live upright, because people are watching our lives. They are watching our lifestyle, and they're watching the way that we live, and they're watching us in this hour. We are light that sitteth on a hill. And, you know, we just can't draw people by living our kind of way, and then they see us saying another thing. So I just want to let you know that I truly enjoyed all of it, every bit of it, and especially the scripture, the word of God. It brings life to us. So thank you for taking your time and being on this show tonight. Pastor Sunday.
Yeah. Amen. One thing I want to point out right before we open up the lines, and I'm sure, you know, somebody may have a question about it as we open up the lines, because once we open up the lines, we're going to ask if you will state your first name and then ask any questions or if you have a comment for us, and just state specifically who you're directing the question to. But one thing that Minister Danielle, you said tonight, and I hope people heard it. You said, according to the scripture, and I thought it was very, very pointed, that if we have revelation from God, if we've been hearing from God, that if we are not careful, if we are not careful of how we hear, then we can very well lose what it is that God has already given us understanding about. That is powerful, because what we're seeing in the body right now, it almost seems as if certain people, when you talk to them, it almost seems as if they are regressing, you know, in terms of being able to hold the truth and being able to contain the truth. We are literally seeing people go back on what the Word of God says. And even when you present
you know, the word to them, it's like they're not retaining the truth of God. So I think that was very, I just wanted to reiterate that the scripture says to be careful of how we hear, because those mm-hmm. who even have understanding, that will be taken away. So I wanted to share that. And Pastor Robert has a brief comment before we open up the line.
Yes, I definitely thank God. I thank God for the word tonight, the lesson, purity, 360 degrees. I can see an image on that, praise the Lord. So it's quite wonderful. I praise God for Minister Danielle. And I really think about a lot of things because, you know, with the epidemics we have, with the, not just with the singles, but with the married, mm-hmm. you know, we have married the adultery, but something that is still hard for my mind to grasp right now is particularly this syndrome where you got married men doing homosexual activities behind the scenes, referred to as down low, and that is just absolutely disgusting. I don't know what planet people are on doing things like that, but this message here, holding on and grasping to this, if you love God and you have a heart, you know, he that is pure, all things are pure, and you stay in that pure stream, that river of God that comes from Jesus Christ, you know, refreshing in there, if you stay there, you're not going to partake in all the other filth out there, because why have a clean, fresh spring and then want to jump over into a septic sewer tank, you know? So the thing to me is that exactly. once we enjoy God and get a taste and see that he is so beautiful, his, mm-hmm. I mean, what he had to give us is so immense and so potent that we wouldn't want to try to go into those corrupt things of the world that are impure. So I thank God for that message. I mean, even early today I was looking at the somebody said something about the Pope coming up to Philadelphia in a big Congress, World Family Congress up this fall. And it's coming out that he's going to be endorsing homosexuality and family. So it's just, you know, we have to understand that this purity thing and this, you know, of God, it goes, it has to be in our heart, because in the world, even in the leadership of the world, they are going against the will of God as far as purity is concerned. So I thank God for these points. I want to turn it back over to Pastor Shante. Thank you.
Amen, amen. At this time, we are going to unmute the lines. We're asking that if you have background noise going on your own line, if you will mute your line so that we don't hear any of your background noises. But at this time, we are unmuting all lines, and I will let you know just as soon as they are all unmuted, and then we will begin to take questions and comments. All right. We thank God for the callers who are on the line. I see we have some from Maryland region, Virginia, and Florida tonight. Praise God. All lines are now open. If you have a question or a comment, we ask that you state your first name before making your comment.
Good evening. This is Tremaine from Tallahassee. How is everybody this evening?
Good.
I have a comment.
Oh, so you have background noise. We're asking that you mute your line at this time. Go ahead.
I have a comment, but it's going to bleed into a question. It's going to be a question for Minister Danielle. Speaking from a single man's perspective, okay, a little background about me. I'm 40 years old, and glory be to God, I've been asking it for 28 years. With that said, do you know being but being a single man, do you know it can attract people, but do you know whether it be inside or outside the church that single men is taught to having that testimony, because it's not welcomed by folks in the church and outside the church. In fact, there are single and married folks that will look at me and say, "You're inexperienced, you have no clue," or things of that nature. And I find it kind of interesting, and that's why there are a lot of men that go astray, because in fact, when it comes to single men and, you know, whether it be a singles conference or a men's conference, we always talk about the pornography aspect. We never talk about the true meaning of what it means to be pure and what it means to and what God wants from us in that area. It's not just pornography, it's more areas. So I just want your take on that, Mr. Danielle.
Can you repeat the last thing that you said?
That's okay. My question is how should a single man who is really desiring to live for God and maintaining that abstinence until God calls you to marriage, as to how do you deal with the attacks of those from the world and in the church when they want to mock your testimony of abstinence and wanting to be pure as a single man?
Listen, I would say from the perspective of, and I'm going to speak from a perspective of just singles in general. Who find themselves in that place of waiting for the person that God has for them. You know, when people are questioning you as far as why it is that you might be waiting or what's wrong with you or, you know, you're inexperienced or things like that, I would say that turning to the Word of God and what the Word of God says in regards to the lifestyle that you should be living as a single person. And the fact that if you are believing for the person that God has for you, there's not going to be any question of you not being experienced or any of those things. God will bring together the woman, you and the woman, you know, that he has for you, and everything is going to be right. So for anyone to sit there and to question you or to make you feel like you're doing something wrong or that you need to go out here and try different things or whatever, just to validate the fact that, you know, you'll be able to, for lack of a better word, I guess, handle yourself when you are married. That's someone that truly isn't representing the Word of God, that truly isn't about the kingdom principles in regards to what the Word says about sex prior to marriage or just living a pure life and waiting to be with your husband or your wife that he has for you. Could you? Hello? Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Did you hear? Okay.
Amen. I'm so sorry. We had to mute all the lines again because we can't tell who is not muting their lines and creating all of the background noises, which makes us unable to hear callers asking questions. So, again, we want to try it again where we're going to unmute the lines, but we're asking if you have background noise going on, if you will, mute your lines. Amen.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Amen. We are unmuting lines again. And we're asking if you will press mute on your phone if you're not talking. We're asking a question. All lines are now open. Questions or comments? Any questions or comments? Well, I do have a question for you. Minister Danielle, just a very basic one. What are some practical ways that people can demonstrate or maintain their purity? Because we know that, of course, there's going to be things in the world, but what are some practical things that they can do in their walk just on a day-by-day basis to either grow in that purity or maintain the purity that they have?
I would say just kind of what in reference to what it says in Proverbs 4:23 and when it's talking about guarding your heart, but the message of, you know, creating those boundaries, being mindful of the atmosphere that you choose to place yourself in. It is definitely challenging. It's not something easy. There is darkness all around us. It's much greater than there is the light. So I would say just being mindful, again, of what it is that you're feeding your spirit. So if that's changing the scenery, if that is a matter of just being watching what it is that you take in, what you're listening to me, those are practical things to take the time to kind of balance out how much time you're spending in the Word of God versus how much time you're spending sitting, surfing the internet or watching TV or listening to music that, you know, is contrary to the Word of God in that sense. Even as far as the entertainment, what movies that you're going to see, some of the conversations that you're even engaging in with your friends, those are things to me that are practical, simple things that you can kind of change up. And again, it's not something that's an easy thing to do, but you learn to discipline yourself by saying, okay, you know, slowly weaning yourself from, say, the TV shows that you find that are taking up majority of your time, or, you know, slowly weaning yourself from, if it's the entertainment that you know that is challenging for you, if you know that, hey, it's not possible for you to go out and, you say, if it's drink or whatever it is, the behavior that you're trying to change, if that's not something that you can take a stand on and you're not strong enough in, then cut yourself off from those things until you feel the confidence to be able to do that. So I would just say taking a look at your life, taking a look at those things that you know that are basically sowing into your spirit, things that would affect you from being able to walk righteously before God, and slowly making adjustments as necessary.
Amen. Amen. I'm reminded of an acronym the Lord gave me one time when he talked to me about letting go of the past. That's PAST. And he talked to me about letting go of P, which is people, A, which is atmosphere and environment, S, which is stereotypes, and T, which is things. And I remember being a single person and giving my life to the Lord while I was in college. And I remember that I was like the ringleader of just unrighteousness, just to be honest with you. And being that I was the ringleader, when the ringleader got saved, it was kind of like, okay, well, who's going to lead the ring? And I remember, like, my first few weeks of getting saved and trying to walk with God, it was almost like I went from being the ringleader to being seen as the weak person because I had chosen to follow the Lord. And so all of my friends were kind of like, you know, you're too holier than thou. I see you got your Bible, you know, those kind of things. And I remember even as I initially tried to stay around them and tried to witness to them, it became offensive to them to the point where they cut off their friendship with me. And it was a really, really hurtful thing because these were people that I had forged relationships with initially when I first, you know, got to college. And so we were already, you know, a good semester and a half in. And so I kind of felt like they just abandoned me. And I know that as a young person, it can be a really hard thing. That is a pressure when it seems like everyone is abandoning you because of the stance that you have chosen to take. So I don't, you know, knock that at all, that there's some level of pressure there to conform to what you're used to or to go back to what you're used to doing because everybody else, you know, maybe around you has still not changed, or they know what you were involved in, you know, maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and they're like, you didn't really change. You know, you'll be back to your old self. You know, give it 30 days, give it 21 days, you'll be back to your old self. And so I know that can be a challenge. But one thing I realized in that was that the friendships that God intended for me to have, and I'm talking about on the other side of Christ, he literally brought those friendships back. Some of them came back within a couple of months. They wound up getting saved, and we're still, you know, friends to this day. Some of them, it took several years. Some of them, you know, the one person got offended, and we didn't speak for years, but then God finally restored that relationship. And so I say all that to say is
it is a courageous thing to be able to and desire to walk in purity and stick with purity. It is a courageous mm-hmm. thing because it may cost you. You may suffer yeah. some losses of friends. You may suffer some losses of even your family members. They may not necessarily understand the stance that you've taken. I know, like, with my sister, I prayed for her nonstop for 10 years before she finally gave her life to the Lord. And now to be able to hear my sister say, hey, I'm praying for you, I'm lifting you up, to me, that is priceless. And so I want to encourage those who are listening that there may be times when you feel like you are just stepping out on zero, on nothing, like there's nobody around you that's egging you on, that's encouraging you in your walk of purity, in your desire to move forward or move deeper in God. But just know that God is there for you. He understands the feelings of abandonment. He understands the feeling of loss. He understands, you know, feeling as if, you know, there may not be someone on your side, per se, that's pushing you to say, hey, I'm glad that you're doing this. I'm excited about your walk. You know, keep moving forward. Sometimes you may not have that voice. I know some people, you know, you may come from a godly background where you have family members that are saved, but I can say I didn't have that. So, you know, I just encourage people to press into the Lord. He is there for you. He understands. He knows that you're going to face pressure. He knows that you're going to face opposition. He knows that there are times you're going to get lonely and you're going to want to pick up the phone and have that conversation with that person that you know, that maybe knew you growing up, or you always used to be able to go and talk to that person. But because right now you may be on different paths, you can't call them because, you know, they may not be willing to hear you right now. So just mm-hmm. be encouraged and know that God is rooting for you. The believers are rooting for you. And we're all on this walk together. Nobody has it down pat. Nobody is perfect. We are all growing in grace. And I do appreciate you bringing to the forefront that we are all called to live a walk of purity. It's not just mm-hmm. single people. And yes, mm-hmm. you can be impure as a married person. And so it is important to guard your heart, guard your eye gates, guard your ear gates. And I just wanted to encourage those who are listening in on the line tonight. Do we have any other questions or comments? All lines are open.
Pastor Shantae, this is Apostle again.
Yes, ma'am.
Also, all of you are hit on it, but I think also having an accountability person is very important, even at my age, you know, because even though I may be an older woman, but I still need to have someone that I can be accountable for, because still the urges and things are still there. They are still there. I still go through the same thing. I get lonely. I want someone to talk to. So just having an accountability person of maturity, someone that I can go to and, you know, talk to at that time. And I think it's very important that we find someone that we can look up to have that person to help walk you through those times of loneliness and where, you know, the enemy is really pulling at you. But one of the things that I find, even with my accountability person, is the Word of God. So, I mean, I have truly enjoyed everything that has been said and everything that is being said. Especially in this hour, we know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God said that he has come that we will have life and have it more abundantly. And he has given us everything that we need on the inside of us. So I am happy about this show tonight because more so than ever, it's needed at this time. And I just want to say that.
Yeah, I think just a comment, like I agree. Having that accountability person is definitely important, and it helps us to sometimes when we find ourselves going astray. And naturally, we are, as humans, you are social creatures. You want to be loved. You want to be adored. You, all those different things. You want that affection is needed, and a lot of times you do have to depend on, you know, one of, say, your girlfriends to encourage you, to keep you grounded, because it is challenging. It's something that it doesn't come easy, and you know, as I stated, it is a hard thing. It does seem like a lot of the times that you are by yourself on this journey, and it will cost you. You will lose your friends. People will question what it is that you're doing and why that you're doing this. But when you do have someone who's standing there with you, an accountability partner, a close friend, whatever it is, someone that can stand there with you, that can keep you on track when you want to give in and you want to throw in the towel, having that person there definitely is huge and is necessary, because you need that person in, not only an accountability person, but they have to be an accountability person that's rooted in God as well, that's rooted in those principles that to desire to live that life of purity, so that you guys can check one another. And it's not to be condemning or to put each other down, but more so to say, hey, listen, just wanted to throw this out here just for you to reflect on. What you choose to do is on you. I'm going to love you regardless. I'm going to pray for you. And just like God forgives, you know, he shows grace, he shows mercy. But something to think about before, because, again, as the apostle just said, you know, the devil desires to devour you. He wants to sift you as wheat. Like, that is what he does. He's always lurking. He's always looking for an opportunity to play on your desires. And that's the biggest thing, is that we often speak out loud what it is that we are desiring. We put it out there, and once it's put out there, the devil can use it against us. So I definitely do appreciate that comment regarding that accountability, because it is important, whatever age you are, that you have that person, mm-hmm. because naturally we desire to be loved and to have that time of affection and intimacy, and we can find ourselves going astray because of that. So,
amen. And I appreciate that, because one thing I have learned is the phrase, I'm grown and I can do what I want to do, really doesn't really apply for Christians, because we are connected to each other. And there is a need, like you said, there is a need for accountability. And sometimes that phrase, I'm grown, I can do what I want to do, it's a little bit of rebellion, saying nobody can tell me what to do, when we know in the body of Christ that what we do affects the whole. I think that's one of the greatest things that I can say that differs from the body of Christ and the rest of the world, is the understanding that what I do affects the whole. What I do affects the body. If I am the pinky toe and it's stubbed, the entire body is going to feel it. Whether we, think that the body is going to feel it right at that moment, but it does affect our behavior, our actions, our desire to be pure before God. All of that does affect the entire body. And, don't want to get away from that. I appreciate Apostle Clary. I appreciate your testimony of, you know, being a person who is, you know, single. You said you're older. I don't really want to say older, but you know, you're living a life of purity where you are at this point in your life, and that to me is very important for us to understand that, regardless, as Minister Danielle said, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we're married or whether we're single, we are all called to a standard of purity. Pastor Charles.
Yeah, praise God. I do honor God for the accountability partners, because, like I say, two walk together, let's be agreed. You got to be agreed in the spirit and help each other in a natural basis. So I thank God for that. Also, in addition to that, I've learned, like, even I remember years when I was going through early on dealing with prophetic calling, and it was really tough. And no matter what I tried to do, people just thought I was some kind of nut job. I would get with people, I would try to connect with folks and trying to, you know, let them understand what the things are. So I was very careful. The accountability partner you have, they have got to be in the spirit with what you're doing and where you're going, okay? And there may be even cases where they may not understand where you may be going spiritually. I mean, they'll be good for motivation, for coaching, for prayer, for intercession and things like that. But one thing, even in our accountability, the biggest thing we have to understand, is our accountability to God, walking every day, looking to the Lord, making sure that, you know, you're being accountable to the Lord, because, you know, the Lord is looking behind your shoulder. He sees everything you're doing. He knows what you're doing. And the thing about it is, you know, we can put a dependence upon others that really needs to be on God itself. I remember I got to the point where, I like what you said earlier, that, you know, humans are, you know, social creatures. You look for affection and relation and things like that. And sometimes that can become in and of itself a challenge to where you're going spiritually. So you have to have an accountability partner, but there is boundaries in that accountability. There's a place where you can only go before God that you have to go there. I mean, God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He says that to that individual, not just the accountability, the partner, and things like that. So I thank God for that. And that scripture I love in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, people look at this as a marriage thing, but I look at it as an everything. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers who do not make mismated alliances with him or come under a different yoke with him, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership has the right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can life have fellowship with darkness? I know there's a lot to that theologically, but the thing we have to understand is that, you know, I mean, all of us are in the press. There's some calls that God has in our lives that just seem to be hard to understand with others and things like that. So we have to make sure we stay in our prayer life to be pure to what God has purposed in your life. You see what I'm saying? When God gives you a purpose, he gives you an order, he gives you direction, you got to stay pure and true to that purpose. And that's something that we cannot ever forget, because, you know, we get caught up in being into the social arena and things like that. And in some cases, they may be on one level, but you know, somewhere in you, it's like the Spirit is taking you to a deeper place. So there's a deeper place in purity you go to that you have to understand that God wants you. I mean, prophets have a tendency to have lives that are very, I won't say lonely, but they are very quiet, because they are dealing with the Lord and how the Lord is managing things for them to be doing. So I'll pause there and I get back to Pastor Shantae. This is really stirring my heart.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for the prophets and apostles being stirred tonight. Amen. Do we have any other questions or comments? The line is open. And there are quite a few people on the line, and we would love to hear from you tonight if you have a question or a comment.
Amen.
Any other questions or comments? We want to make sure everyone has an opportunity to ask a question or comment tonight. Amen. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Minister Danielle, we're going to ask if you will close us out and lead us in a prayer, since we have no other comments or questions at this time. We won't belabor the time. We do thank each and every person who is on this line, who has been listening in. I know some of the calls have dropped and people are calling to get back on, and we pray that they'll be able to get back on in a moment or so. But we thank God for the word that is in your mouth. And I just want to say I appreciate you. I appreciate your father, Apostle Decker Tascott, who is our overseer for Life Nation. And we are very thankful for the hospitality from your house personally and from the ministry as we have sojourned up here to Virginia and doing the work of ministry here, Apostle Clary in Florida. And we just thank God for the continuation of what God spoke prophetically about Virginia and Florida coming together. So this is just I see it as a greater fulfillment of that word that was spoken even on last year. So we're going to ask if you would just lead us in a prayer tonight, and then we're going to come back and do just a few announcements before we close.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this ministry, for this talk show, for the broadcast, Lord God, for the people that can get on, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, Lord God, in Florida, in Virginia, Lord God, connecting us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, Lord God, to be able to express Christ, Lord God, to be able to minister, Lord God. I thank you for every caller that was on today, tonight, Lord God, that listened in, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that the word that came forth, Lord God, from you, Lord God, fell, Lord God, on good ground, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for those, Lord God, who are desiring, Lord God, to have a change, Lord God, in their hearts, Lord God, desiring, Lord God, to be transformed and renewed in their mind, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you would fill them, Lord God, touch them today, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the crucifying of the flesh tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that those, Lord God, that were on the line, Lord God, will have a hunger, Lord God. They were stirred in their spirit, Lord God, having a hunger and desire, Lord God, for the things of you, Lord God. Walking out, Lord God, righteousness, Lord God, walking in purity, Lord God. Lord God, giving expression to who you are, Lord God, that you may be glorified in everything that they do, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for boldness tonight, Lord God. I thank you for confidence, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for strength, Lord God. Those, Lord God, that have found themselves being weak, Lord God. Those, Lord God, that are growing weary, Lord God, in their well-doing, Lord God. I thank you that you strengthen them tonight, Lord God. Fill them afresh tonight, Lord God. Fill their spirit tonight, Lord God. Strengthen them even now, Lord God. I thank you for that, Lord God. Give them the boldness to continue to stand, Lord God. Give them, Lord God, the desire, Lord God, to continue to want more of you, Lord God, to not get caught up in the natural, Lord God, to not get caught up in what it is that they see, Lord God, but to know, Lord God, that it is, Lord God, that is what is unseen, Lord God, that they're counting on, Lord God, that they're relying on you, Lord God, that they know, Lord God, that your word is true, Lord God, that they'll continue, Lord God, to walk out, Lord God, right standing, Lord God, righteousness, Lord God, believing in you, Lord God, confidently, Lord, placing their hope in you, Lord God. Continue, Lord God, to hold on to you, Lord God. I thank you for that, Lord God. Fill them with a passion, Lord God, a desire, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are strengthening them even now, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for hearts that are not hardened to you, Lord God, but giving them a clean heart tonight, Lord God. Pure hearts, Lord God. Hearts that hunger and thirst and long after you, Lord God. No longer, Lord God, will their taste buds, Lord God, long for the things of this world, Lord God, but that you are changing their appetite, Lord God. That you are changing, Lord God, their diet, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for just a shift and a change even now, Lord God, in their spirit man, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the increase, Lord God, of the spiritual, Lord God, and for the decrease, Lord God, of the things of this world, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that they're throwing off the things, Lord God, of the world, Lord God, and putting on the things of you, Lord God, making the exchange with you, Lord God. I thank you for that tonight, Lord God. Strengthen every person tonight, Lord God. Strengthen every single tonight, Lord God. Lord God, those, Lord God, longing for, Lord God, desiring, Lord God, that husband, that wife, Lord God, strengthen them, Lord God. Allow them to continue to stand, knowing, Lord God, that they delight themselves in you, Lord God, committing themselves to you, Lord God, that you will give them the desires of their heart, Lord God, that which you have placed in them. You will see that your word be fulfilled to its completion, Lord God. Let them know that that began the good work in them, Lord God, will see it through, Lord God, that your word will be manifested, Lord God. And I thank you for that tonight and give you all the glory, give you all the honor, give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Apostle Clary, if you would like to share with us for the rest of the month, some of the topics that we're going to be discussing on the line. Thank you so much, Minister Danielle. We appreciate you. Thank you for that prayer. I know it was heartfelt. I know those who are listening in felt the power of God through that prayer, and I'm thankful for you tonight.
Amen.
Thank you.
Next week, and we're so glad that you paved the way for us next week. We're going to be dealing with singleness and living single. And I will have an older seasoned woman, and we have a young lady by the name of Sarah Valentine. We're going to tag team next week, and we're going to talk about dealing with things in our minds, will, and emotion as single women. And we're going to share some of our past histories of the things that we have been through, the struggles that we went through, and still, as the younger lady is going to be dealing with, is some of the
very struggle as a young woman, as a believer, that she's struggling with. And a lot of us, and we're going to be dealing with also our makeup. I'm not talking about makeup that we put on, but how we always attack, because I had to deal with some things a couple of nights ago, how we get inboxes from married men, and they look at me and they think I'm younger than who I am, and so they come into my inbox and trying to say things. So we're going to deal with some of the things that a lot of people on Facebook don't want to address about inbox for married men and inbox for younger men. I mean, like, my oldest daughter is 42, and the first thing is I ask, how old are you? And then they will come back and say, age ain't nothing but a number. So we're going to deal with some of these things the way that we are attacked and the way they're looking at our bodies and faces and stuff like that. We just want to talk about it because some people have succumbed to this stuff. And, you know, some people have gotten killed over Facebook where they've gotten into relationships with people. And we just want to deal with that as an overall next week. We don't know where it's going. We may be calling you back to be on the show again. And on the show again, according to, you know, how the people are coming and need to be ministered to in that way. So that's what we're having next week. And we don't know what God's going to do, but whatever he's doing, we're going to move along with it. Thank you, Pastor Shante.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Well, this is recorded. So maybe a minute or so after we get done tonight with this call, it will be available online. We're going to shoot it over to Minister Danielle's page as well as the Let's Talk About It Facebook group if you'd like to join this group. And see the notes from tonight that we took, as well as even our past recordings. You can find us on Facebook. It's Let's Talk About It. And you can request to join the group, and we will log you into that group so that you can partake of the other teachings and things that are there. Also, if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can donate at PayPal at Janet Clary, C-L-A-R-Y, Ministries, at gmail.com is the address for that PayPal donation if you'd like to give to this ministry. Again, we thank you all so much for joining us. This is a talk show designed to equip, educate, and empower people from all walks of life with the message of the kingdom of God in our relationships. So thank you all again so much for joining us tonight. And until next week, same place, same time, God bless. Good night.
Good night.